In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In a remarkable section of the already quite remarkable four quartets of T.S. Eliot, there is this. The only hope, or else despair, lies in the choice of pyre or pyre. To be redeemed from fire by fire. We don't have the choice not to burn with something. Something will inflame us, motivate us, empower us, inspire us, consume us. Sometimes I think we need a little reminding that what it means to be a Christian is also to burn with a particular fire. And our gospel this morning is one such needfully insistent reminder. So, at this point in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has called his disciples. He has empowered them for ministry and explained to them that they will be persecuted, that the world, understood as a pattern of human relationship characterized by the powers of violence, sin, and death, to which powers humanity had lain long in bondage, the world will not take kindly to the disciples' ministry and message, meaning as they do, as the gospel does, the world's undoing. And if you can believe it, this section of Matthew 10 that we heard this morning is Jesus' attempt to comfort the disciples, to encourage them to stay the course, to not be distracted nor discouraged by adverse circumstances, sufferings, difficult times, nor to fall back into the familiar and comfortable bondage of the world's sin-sick pattern. Because, compared to the hardships of walking the way of love, the way of the cross, the world's way will seem like safety, reprieve, or peace. But in fact, it is none of those things. That is one of the secrets that the disciples are called to boldly proclaim from the housetops. The world doesn't know peace at all. So Jesus says then, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." People will think, our Lord says, people will think that by silencing you that they will have peace. That's how the world understands peace, but they won't have it. So know this, whatever people may seek to do to you because you stand up for me, for love, for what is good, true, beautiful, it cannot rob you of who you are if who you are is grounded, settled, rooted in me, says Jesus, and that rootedness is peace. And this is good news, yeah? And then you might think it goes a bit sideways because you know what's coming. Rather, says Jesus, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oof. But beloved, that's not God he's talking about. The word for hell here is Gehenna, and that is a reference to the valley in which, according to Scripture, children were euphemistically made to pass through the fire, sacrificed to propitiate or petition the bloodthirsty god Moloch. Gehenna represents a particularly horrific human possibility that, in order to seek blessing, prosperity and goodness, we would be willing to burn each other alive and call it holy. Don't be afraid, says Jesus, of someone who can destroy your body. Be afraid of what will become of your body and soul should you yourself become the destroyer. So have no part of that. He goes on to say, you can manage to acknowledge the price of the sparrow when you buy and sell it, and you don't buy and sell it for much. But do you know how much it means is valued by God? So imagine how valuable you are, your neighbor is, to God, and have a care for that value, before you follow the way of Gehenna. And indeed, the story of Jesus' life will show that there is nothing that he values more, not heaven, not his own glory, power, strength, not even his life, nothing that he would not give up to be in relationship with us. Gehenna, then, is the pernicious condition of habitually undervaluing the preciousness of another human life, and the willingness to maim, marginalize, or destroy that life for the sake of some misconstrued or misapprehended good. And in case we need reminders that the flames of Gehenna burn bright even today, just open a newspaper, check your news feed. War is Gehenna. Racism is Gehenna. Homophobia is Gehenna. Transphobia is Gehenna. Misogyny is Gehenna. Ageism, ableism, and every way by which we're willing to use each other or sacrifice each other for the sake of some diabolical utopia, power, privilege, or self, but never willing to lay down our lives one for another, that is Gehenna. And in case you're thinking to yourself, oh, well, great, I don't do any of that stuff, I'm all set, thank you, Jesus. Well, there's more. Jesus tells us that because he takes up the cross, we are called to do likewise. Because Jesus stands up to the powers of Gehenna, we're called to do likewise. Because he goes straight into the fire, we're called to do likewise. Because Jesus stands with the outcast, the scapegoat, the oppressed, the poor, we are called to do likewise. Because Jesus opened his arms to all the violence, terror, and death we could muster against him, we're called to do likewise. Not because we thereby save our own or somebody else's souls. We don't. Jesus does that in his one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice by which he exhausted the finite powers of Gehenna in the fullness of his infinite life, rising again to bring new life to us, not because we earned it, but because he loves us. We're called to do likewise because if Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, his life must live by grace in us. His way must be our way. The fire of love that animates his sacred heart must burn in us. And we can only be heralds of death's undoing if we ourselves risk being undone by love, for love, in love. Which means, beloved, there is no armchair Christianity. We might succumb to a very popular notion of religion that it's a private affair meant for personal betterment or self-actualization, a way to help us engage, cope with, or accommodate ourselves to living in a world that is quite literally on fire. But that is not Christianity. That is nonsense. And Jesus tells us as much today. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And this is what he means. I didn't come to make you feel comfortable with what's destroying you. I didn't come to make you feel cozy. I didn't come to empower you to make peace with oppression, says Jesus. I came to love you out of the bonds of death that bind you, to cut away from you the sin that plagues and devours you, and to give you as your own my divine life. So, if you prefer the coziness, the comfort, the death, the sin, you can have it, but you will not have me. You prefer your respectability to me? Take it. You prefer your family, friends, money, power, comfort, your good name, your sense of self? You can have it, but you won't have me. Would you prefer, asks Jesus, not to stand up for the dignity of every human being, the dignity of the very image of God, for the sake of which I set aside my own glory to glorify you? He says, would you prefer to risk nothing for the sake of love? Would you prefer your own life to mine? Well, you can have it, but you won't be able to keep it. But if you're prepared to lose it all for me, for love, what truly good thing would not be yours if you share my life with me, if you discover yourself held and loved in me? No, there's no getting around it. There is no armchair Christianity that is not fundamentally pernicious and that does not collude with Gehenna by refusing to be a countersign to it. We're called to follow Jesus in the way of self-sacrificial love, the way by which we lose all that we prefer for the sake of the fullness of grace and glory that God has desired for us from before the foundations of the world. If we follow Jesus in the way, we might indeed become fools in the eyes of the world, but what of it? Christ has overcome the world. We might suffer pain or loss or both, true. But we cannot be like Christ in his glory if we refuse to compassionate him, if we refuse to be like him in his humiliation, his passion, and his death. We cannot be where the Master is or become what the Master is if we do not go the way the Master goes. The way of the cross is rough. We will stumble. But we will not walk it alone. Indeed, we cannot. There is one who walks with us, who has pioneered this way and who knows it, who picks us up when we fall, who inspires and encourages, who loves us. And there are others on the way who support each other, who help the weary, who ease the way, who follow the example of their Lord. It's to this way of rough glory that God, in God's mercy, has called us today. God has enticed us, and we have been enticed. We cannot walk the way by standing on the sidelines, risking nothing, playing it safe, lurking in the shadows. The rough road love blazed and illumined by its majestic fire may not feel always so pleasant, but it is real, and it is good. And whom God calls, he will also empower. And those he empowers, he will sustain. So even though the stakes might feel quite high, and they are, don't be afraid. Give yourself to love. The only hope or else despair lies in the choice of pyre or pyre, to be redeemed from fire. By fire. Gehenna or love? With what will you burn? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.